Welcome to Ice Twizzle, created by figure skaters for figure skaters. Hello and welcome to the show. I hope you've had a good week skating since I spoke to you last. I know I have. I am very lucky this week to have the first event of this nature. I have Ilaria from Adia Ice Skates. Ilaria, hello.
Hello, everyone. Ciao a tutti.
All the way from Italy. Where are you in Italy?
We are in Crocetta del Montello. It's a small village between Venice and the Dolomites.
Oh, well, thank you for coming on the show. And I'm sure that all the listeners will be amazed to hear from you, because we all know of this huge brand, but you've never done a podcast or spoken in this way before. So
no. So thank you so much, Phil, for inviting us.
Oh, you are very welcome. And I know that there's been this huge sort of tidal wave of Adia that's emerged to me over the last 10 years. I'm just speaking from my point of view and how I see just the sheer prevalence of Adia ice skates on the TV, famous skaters and people at my rink all changing to Adia. So I imagine that Adia to be some kind of mega factory, some sort of huge metropolis of an organization. Is that what it's like? I can see that you are in a quite nice background, quite a nice, what I'd call like an Adia showroom. Is it sort of a mega factory?
Well, I don't think so. I don't think it is considered as a mega factory. And not even so big. For sure, here in the surroundings, there are factories that are very much bigger than ours. But we try to make as much as possible here. And for example, all our boats are made here, literally from the drawing boards to the rink. So, well, to the warehouse. And then we send to our dealers. And then to you, to the rink.
Wow. So it's sort of, you've got a whole in-house kind of like manufacturing thing going on, which I suppose is pretty good. I mean, I know that when they make watches, expensive watches, what they call an in-house movement, so where all of the parts of the watch are sort of manufactured and put together and designed in the same place, makes for a very effective, very sophisticated, reliable and therefore expensive watch. So all of these expensive watch manufacturers like Omega and Rolex make everything in-house. So it's fantastic that you've got that. So you can sort of like, you know, work with those designs and then create things. I mean, has it been going for a long time, Adia? I mean, it came into my life sort of about 10 years ago, but how long's Adia been going?
Well, time flies, and this year actually we are celebrating our 20th anniversary. So incredible, right?
Yeah. 20 years.
It's incredible, but we started with a small production, and there were just few models that were suitable for ice and roller skates. While right now we have two separate collections, but one thing that never changed is the passion that we put in it and the fact that most of the work is done by hand. So the person here, the people, are really important, because mostly of the work is done by hand. So we put our passion in it, yeah, in every boat.
That's amazing to hear how much of it is done by hand, because when you see Adia skates, and you know, the hardest thing I think in any like manufacturing process is to get things of equal quality, looking the same, performing the same each time. And there are people on YouTube or Instagram or Facebook or whatever, and they post pictures of their new skates. They all look beautiful, they all look perfect. And to hear that that's sort of done by hand, I mean, I'm sure there's some machine processes in it, but for the majority to be done by hand, that's some quality control that you've got going on there, because they all look, identically perfect, like, other than people putting all diamonds on them and stuff when they get them to sort of make their own thing. But that really is amazing to hear.
Of course, two boots cannot be exactly the same, but because this is made by hand, so there can be some small differences. But in general, yes, our artisans are really well prepared to make these boots, and so we can guarantee a certain continuity, I would say. Right? And of course, we use also machinery. But still, every machine is controlled by a man, and every boot is touched at least by everyone. So, yeah, 70 people, and everyone has touched probably your boot.
Oh, well. So there's like sort of about 70 people working in there.
Yeah.
That's not many people to make what seems like a world's worth of
Exactly.
to make what seems like a world's worth of ice skates. So, did it come from the backgrounds of being a corporation, or is it sort of like a small group of people that started it, or how did it go about starting?
So actually, skating has been in the family blood since generations. The grandfather started making bespoke shoes for locals, and the following generation was able to build a skate company. And then for the third generation, was only natural to continue the search of the perfect skate.
Well, so you've got sort of like
So.
three, like a family kind of like three generation kind of business going on.
Exactly. And here in the area, there are many others shoes factories. So this area is well known for this kind of manufacturer.
Oh, okay. So you're in the shoe capital, the shoe and boot capital of Italy. That's the place.
Yes, probably yes.
That's the place to be if you're in that business. Absolutely. I've seen this huge turn in people moving to Adidas skates, and I've noticed it sort of over the last 10 years. I started in Wefa. Actually, I started in hockey skates, and then when I decided I wanted to be a figure skater, I moved to figure skate. And anybody that's moved from hockeys to figures knows that that's not always a pleasant journey, because there's a very big difference. But I knew that I needed, if I wanted to progress, then the future was in figure skating and figure skates for me, and for me personally, dancing. But I changed then to figure skates, and I went to Wefa figure skates, because at the time, that was, I don't know, say like 12 years ago in that rink, that's what the figure skaters seemed to be sort of wearing. And there were a few of us. I didn't know an awful lot about ice skates, and so you tend to go with the majority. And over the time, I noticed ice skates more. I saw other manufacturers, what boots that people were wearing. And then came Adia one, then two, then 10, then 20, and then slowly now most people at the ice rink are wearing Adidas ice skates. So, I mean, I've seen that sort of big change. Have you seen a big increase over the last 10 years, or has it been steady for you, or has it suddenly gone huge? Because that's how it seems to me, that loads of people are moving to Adidas now.
So we started from zero, literally from zero. And when we introduced our boots, they were completely different from what the skaters were used to. And therefore, it took some time to become so popular among high-level skaters, and therefore also in every level of figure skating all around the world. So for sure, in the last 10 years, yes, there was a big increase of production and sales. But you can see this also in the high-level figure skating competitions. So from Europeans to World Championships to Olympics. And now you can see even Junior Grand Prix in Courchevel. I saw that 30 out of 32 ladies were skating on it there.
That's amazing, isn't it? That's like if you know, if a company could go, you know, if I was to invent some fictitious company, and I went to the bank and said, like, look, I need to borrow £1 million, but my brand will occupy 30 out of 32 famous figures using this product in sort of whatever, like 20 years, 10 or 20 years time. The bank would laugh me out of the doors, like, you know what I mean, and say that's not possible. So it's a huge achievement, isn't it? So I mean, there's got to be reasons behind this. Things don't happen, you know, by accident. And I noticed that sort of, you know, with the DS skates, they are sort of made of like different things. I mean, like they don't seem to have like a leather sole, and seem to be sort of made with more technical materials. At the same time, I think the body is still leather, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong. What's going on with that? What was the idea behind sort of getting rid of the leather sole that had, I don't know, been in ice skating for loads of years, I think.
Yes, so we introduced some different materials rather than leather. I mean, we still have some models with the upper part made in leather, but we also have some models with the upper part in microfiber. And it's a special kind of microfiber that resemble the leather and it behave exactly like the leather. It's what not easy, of course, to find it, but we made it. Since the beginning, we have tried to find solution to skaters' problem. For example, the sole that become damp because of the water.
Yeah.
Okay, so and screws that were bubbling because of that, and that was one of the problems. And the soles are also used to be very, very thick.
Yeah, I mean, I know from my skates that I'm sort of have to change over skates at some point anyway, because I've been ice dancing in a pair of skates that were made for a single jumping for quite a while, clamped a set of dance blades on them. And so I've got a bit of a mishmash going on, but the thing that sort of like put me off, I think it slows a lot of people down in terms of changing skates, not changing brands, but changing skates, because us people that have had to break in the old full leather boots, you know, you don't break the boots in, they break you in, you know, they like literally, I've literally been at the doctors with my feet and ankles and stuff, and then I've you know, I've heat molded the boots, and then I've had the ankles punched out, and I foolishly wore these sort of finestral rings around my ankles, which then sort of damaged the nerves around my ankles because it take the pressure off, which is, you know, so there's some sort of like damage there from that, and it took me a long time, and eventually the boots surrendered over a period of 4 years or something like that. So to move to another boot, you know, it's a huge like process in your head. But I know, speaking to people at the rink, people don't seem to suffer this long break-in period with Adidas skates. Why is that? Is you sort of created this break-in? It's a good thing to identify, but have you managed to achieve that?
Yes, for sure. This is one of the characteristics that skaters love of our boots. Because of our work before starting with IDEA, we work on finding solutions for skaters' problem, and of course, the beginning was one of these. So we started creating an anatomical shell that is already shaped for the foot and the ankle. And then we added some comfort by using memory foam. So memory foam adapts to your foot with the warmth of your body. And this makes the breaking in, of course, much easier.
Yeah, because my boots, my old boots, are sort of like they're leather on the outside, they're leather in the on the inside. There might be a bit of padding in there, but it's not technical at all. And leather's quite, I mean, it can be flexible, but it can be quite, depending on the thickness and the hardness, it can be pretty unforgiving. And I found it like pretty unforgiving. And I've got visions now of this skate technician sort of his wife bringing them out of the oven, and then he's on this huge machine trying to like stamp out my ankles and stuff and trying to push bits out to sort of make them fit my feet.
Yes, because leather is natural, so and one piece is never the same as another. So it depends on how that leather is, and both the one that is inside the boot and the one that is outside of the boot. So that's also why we remove the leather from inside of the boot, and we also use microfiber.
Yeah, I suppose that when you're using like natural products, you are subject to the fluctuation in nature that things aren't always the same. Whereas if you can move to a more, you know, a more technical thing, then you get that sort of run of stability or that regularity that you can sort of depend on and then work on, which it's certainly working. I mean, I can't question the fact that it's working, because there are so many, you know, you've had, as a company, you've had such success, and it's not just at the rink, you sort of see it in the media as well. And, you know, you're creating quite a legacy behind you. I mean, so, you know, do you have some kind of like research? Do you have some kind of like research lab or somewhere where you sort of figure all of this stuff out, or are you just building skates and then sending somebody out to go, just give that a go, have a jump, see if it goes wrong? Have you got a more technical approach? I would imagine you have.
I think it's more being involved in figure skating and in roller skating, because we also produce boots for roller skating. Is being involved in this world and feel it every day. So getting the feedback from the skaters and having with them like direct contact almost every day.
Yeah, I mean, that's the key, isn't it? I suppose like you're never going to have a more critical audience than the people that actually wear them. And it's, I know that this is sort of, you know, this is a figure skating podcast, but it's worth noting as well, because, you know, I'm subscribed to so many sort of feeds and people on social media through the ice skating, but it also picks up a lot of roller skating, because, you know, if skating is a keyword, then I get some things through for roller as well. And there's a huge, you know, percentage or a majority of people that are roller skating in Adidas skates too. So are the boots made for roller boots different from the boots that are made for ice boots?
Oh, yes.
So could somebody that was, you know, that had got an ice boot, just put wheels on it and hope that all of that would work?
Well, if you're using the roller skating boots collection, we do not recommend to use it on the ice, because they are made with different characteristics. And the main one is the ventilation. So, you know, roller is mostly in summer, or at least in hot places or in warm places. Of course, they train even in winter. But anyway, the movement is creating a lot of warm inside the boot. So we created the ventilation both on the upper and even on the sole. So,
oh, okay. So
if you use roller skating boots on the ice with the blade,
let's not do that now. I wondered if they were different.
No, your feet will freeze.
I thought that there was and of course, you know, I suppose, like, you know, there's different levels of ice skate as well, because people are jumping, aren't they? And there's different stiffnesses.
Yes, also. It's not just because of the height of the jumps, because actually roller skaters also jump quite high, but it's more because of the base. So the blade is just 3-4 millimeters, and so you need a stiffer boot to control it.
Yeah.
While the quad skates are like almost 10 centimeters wide.
Yeah, over much wider.
So you need a much more flexible boot, otherwise you won't lean on edges.
Oh, well, see, there's
and that, yeah, and that's this the same reason why for inline skating, we recommend ice skating boots.
For the same reason. Yeah, yes. Yeah, that figures.
Because the inline frame is to resemble the ice blades.
It's all beginning to make sense to me now. It is all beginning to make sense. But I mean, I figured that sort of, there'd be some difference. But it's interesting to hear why the difference is because, I mean, I suppose when you're ice skating, you are on, a very thin medium, and you've got a lot of weight sort of on quite a thin medium, and so you've got to, you do have that sort of, or I could imagine that you do need that sort of rigidity or that stiffness in the boot to sort of stop it doing that. So I have noticed that there are, I mean, as well as noticing people at the rink and po people in competitions, there are a lot of famous people, what I would call to be famous, that sort of high level of that echelon of skaters that are up there on TV, more and more wearing Adidas skates. As an ice dancer myself, I tend to notice ice dancers more. I mean, I watch all of the skating, but because I'm sort of thinking of making the move of boots myself, I also watch people's boots a lot. And I noticed that, Gabriella Papadakis is wearing them because I ice dance myself. I mean, what other famous people have you got? Have you got wearing Adidas skates?
Luckily, so many, and every year more. Just to recall some names other than Gabriella, in ice dance we have Zachary Donohue, Madison Hubbell, Madison Chalk, and Evan Bates. So
Well, okay.
the podium at the Olympics and at the last World Championships were full of Edea.
Yeah. So there's no excuse for any failures I might have when there's people wearing the same boots, that are doing pretty well. But I say pretty well, very very well. But I mean, it's good that you've got. I mean, you've got everybody would love to have a product on that world stage, but obviously it comes for a reason because these people are extremely critical over what they wear, I would imagine, because there's a lot hanging on it. And I guess when you get to that level, it's not just your career. There's a ton of money attached to things. People have got huge coaching fees and traveling, and there's a lot put into performances, and there's sponsorships, and there's. But by the time somebody gets to that level, choosing each individual thing that you use is a big consideration. So I guess these people, when they choose a brand of skate, they're doing it because it precisely does what they want. So I mean that's testament to your sort of design. I was in at a competition, just an open adult competition in Germany. And there was a representative or a reseller there of Adidas skates that was sort of like fitting them. And to be fair, I wish I'd been in a position to be able to sort of speak with that person because I know that there's a that they do that Adidas do it like a size C width because those are quite common for what people do over here. Is there other widths of Adidas skate that of the ice skates that people can choose from?
Yes, so we do produce mostly boots in seaweed because that's the 90% of the market, which is fine.
Yeah.
But upon order, we can make also B-width, which is narrower, D-width, which is wider than C,
Makes
and
sense.
E-width, which is extra wide.
Oh, okay.
But actually, we should say more feet instead of width, because the difference is not just at the widest points of the foot, but also in the heel and in the overall volume of the boot.
Oh, so that changes as well. See, that's every day's a school day, isn't it? Every day's a school day. I didn't know that. I thought, and I'm sure a lot of people listening to this podcast as well, thought that when you go sort of B, C, D, that was just the width, but it's not. There's other elements in the boot that change as well. So it's changing the heel, it's changing. Does it change the sort of, I suppose it changes the shape of the boot then?
Well, a bit, yes. If you compare B, C, D, and E, you can see the difference. Even if it's just a couple of millimeters, which is difficult to measure and to determine just measuring the boot on a paper, for example, But when you feel it, you understand which fit is for you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because it was a shock for me coming into ice skating, because I suppose a lot of people, and I've spoken to people on other shows that I've been recording lately as well, that when people come into ice skating, the only knowledge we've got is from the shoes that we've bought as growing up, you know, as children and young adults. And so you tend to think you would shop for skates like you would shop for shoes, but that's not true at all, is it? Because
no.
you need a very well-fitting boot. And like you say, millimetres become miles when your feet are that close to the boot and they're under that much pressure, because you would never put the G forces or the forces on a shoe that you would put on a skate.
Exactly, because shoes are designed to be flexible, while skates just need to fit. And the foot inside the boot should move the less as possible. And for sure, the heel is not supposed to be moving up and down. So that's why most of the time, seaweed is the way to go.
Yeah. I mean, if somebody wants to get the right size for them, you know, they're sort of like thinking, yeah, I'll go for some Adia, and they want to get the right size. Other than, I know that some people can sort of see a skating technician and get their feet measured or whatever. But I've spoken to people lately that sort of, not everybody's got access to that, and not everybody's, you know, just clued up on the sizing. So how does somebody go about getting the right size of a Adia skate for them?
So usually we recommend to visit the shop or authorized dealer in person, because so you can get that personal attention that the dealer can give you. And the dealer is not just a shop assistant. It's a person who is trained to do that. So it can help you to understand which boot and which size and which fit is the one for you. And of course, in the shop, you can try on the skates. So you can feel that. You can feel if the size is fine for you, if the fit is correct, or if you just need some small adjustment. And another characteristic of their boots is that they can be instantly custom shaped. So the materials that we use allow to be heat molded, and this operation can be done in the shop.
So you
don't need to wait.
Yeah,
I mean, you need to wait just a few hours.
Yeah, that's quite interesting, because you know, that was sort of a question in a way, because with all of these technical components that the boots are made of, I know that you could sort of like to a degree heat mold the old leather ones, but you can heat mold Adia skates as well.
Yes, but just don't put them in the oven.
Okay. Don't cook them with your
No. Oven is for pizza and biscuits.
Yeah. It's a bit more technical than that. So yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that I think that there's a list of authorized dealers on the website, isn't there, on the Adia website? But I know certainly from going and seeing an authorized dealer when I was in Germany, the difference between that and just speaking to a shop assistant in a skate shop is huge. So I can definitely back you up on that, because they really know what they're on about, you know, and sort of know how your foot should be fitting in the
Yeah,
boot.
Because anyway, skates is your technical equipment, so it cannot be replaced by online service.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. That is absolutely true. So
and need to be checked. I mean, when the technician is mounting the blade, okay, temporary mounting is fine. You can skate with that. But it's just to understand if the alignment is done properly.
Yeah.
And then you have to switch to the permanent mounting. So the technician need to see you, and you and the technician should be like on the same line.
Yeah. You're sort of working with each other. And that's a good point as well, because that's another thing, isn't it? You sort of put your blades on and then skate on them just to check their alignment, because although somebody can align the blade, you know, everybody's different. I know my blades have been moved for my strange body shape or feet or however I stand.
Yeah, and everybody has a different alignment of the body. So unfortunately, online service cannot replace visual in person.
Yeah, that's true. That's
That's
true.
important.
This the robots haven't taken over yet, have they? There's still a need for a human touch, I think, and it's very true when sort of fitting skates. So I take it people, they can't order straight off the IDEA website. You do need to go through to a supplier, but the suppliers are listed on the website, which is, yeah.
Exactly. I think we have suppliers, well, all around the world, and for sure where ice skating or roller skating is more concentrated on.
I know that IDEA do other stuff because I've seen like people wearing IDEA socks that are designed to go underneath the skates because they're sort of slim and whatnot. But also there's all these funky new blade guards coming out as well, aren't they? It's almost looks like a spring.
The e-guards.
Is that what they're called? Is that what they're called? I'm seeing them on social media and people showing them off and whatever. So yeah, well, that's a bit of a funky design. What's the idea behind that?
Yeah, I think it's a game changer. So that's because we constantly work on how to make skating better and how to help skaters. So when looking at the old way blade guards, they were noisy, they were tricky to adjust to the blade length, and they get rusty over time. So we were thinking, how can we solve this?
Yeah, that's true because the old ones have sort of got like metal springs and pins and stuff. So these.
Exactly, but you need to cut them before starting to use them according to the to your blade length. Okay, and they should not be too short or too long, otherwise they don't work. And then you have to fix the screws with the springs. And of course, over time they get rusty.
Yeah, I've had this fun. I've had them in a vise, sawing them down. When you change blades, particularly if you go from normal single skating blades to ice dance blades, then everybody that changes, you're sawing them down. You've got them in a vise. So yeah, I can see there's a lot of thought that goes into things. I think that probably, a big part of the success is because of the thought that goes into things. And
Yeah, I think skaters are happy with them.
yeah, I mean they look pretty funky, and again you see the barrage of people on social media like look at this, and that's where I see things first. I know
Yeah,
that.
also, we launched them in 2020, like during COVID time. It was maybe quite brave because actually at that time almost nobody was still skating.
Well,
Restrictions.
you were forging forward at a tricky time.
Yes,
Yeah, but
and the product was really well accepted, and soon we worked also on a smaller version and on a larger version. So now everybody can use the e-guards.
very good. I mean, talking about sort of the different products again. I know that like I've spoken to a couple of people lately on podcasts where they've sort of been changing boots and they've talked about being overbooted and underbooted, and a lot of people move into IDEA because they can get the boots that they want. People that have been sort of underbooted before and the skates have broken and whatnot. I know that you've got sort of a whole range of different ones, but for somebody just coming into it first, what's the main difference between these skates? I mean, like, for example, what's the difference between a chorus and a deer chorus boot from a piano? What's the difference there?
Well, mostly the difference is in the construction. I mean, they are made all in the same way. So the anatomical shell, the memory foam, and in between there is a layer of reinforcement, or more layer than reinforcement. So the main difference is that one. And then, of course, in the upper part, it's more aesthetical. So the chorus has nice line, leather finish, while piano is definitely more funky.
Yeah,
I
it
would
is.
say we use different materials. We use lighter materials because the microfiber is lighter than the leather. So yes, piano is the most advanced wood, which integrates also an anti-shock system because skaters need that.
And it's good you've got that range, and for people to choose the sort of the right bit of the range as well. And that's again, I guess, where sort of speaking to an official dealer comes in, because I have known people. I've known people in the past be overbooted, you know, where they just started out and they're like, "Oh, the most expensive skate, the best skate is the best one for me." It doesn't always work like that. In ice skates, I know. And also, I've spoken to people that have been using different brands, and they found themselves underbooted. So they you know, the skates that they chosen weren't rigid enough, so they start you know, deforming or whatever. So it's quite interesting to know that those layers of like reinforcing that go in between the outer and the inner changes as the boot changes at the same time as the weights. There's a lot of things. I guess to everybody, speak to an official person and check out the website. But there's a whole ton of stuff there.
And also, if you have a coach, of course, you have to ask to the coach before switching boots.
This is a very good point. Nobody wants to annoy the coach. To be honest, that's a really good point that I had missed, because I tend to go to my coach before anybody else, you know, on advice for things, because they know your level of skating as well, don't they?
Yeah, they know your style, and maybe you are light but very powerful, or you are just light on your skates. So if you wear a stiff boot, maybe your skating will not improve.
Yeah, there you go. You've had a top tip from Adia. Then speak to your coach, speak to the authorized Adia dealer, and between the three of you, you should get just what you're after. I am really glad that, you know, because I'm looking at changing boots myself, and I'm in the minority now, I guess, because everybody seems to be wearing Adia, but I'm sort of looking at Adia when changing my boots. But I mean, I, as an ice dancer, I'm really pleased, because not many companies do an ice dance boot, and I'm pleased to see that Adia do. And in fact, my skating partner has recently changed to Adia dance boots and loves them, and wouldn't wear anything else. So, but I know that not as many people dance as, you know, skate single or solo. So was it a bit of a gamble making an ice dance boot? I mean, it certainly paid off, because you've got people like Papadakis wearing them now. But when you first went into it, you know, was it a bit of a gamble to make an ice dance boot?
Well, actually, we used to have the ice dance boot, but maybe it was not so good for ice dancers. Gabriella was skating in flamenco ice and she loves it. But for many other skaters, it was too soft. So, like 4 years ago, we tried to change that model to make it stiffer, a bit higher in the back, and improve the line, I would say.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, but thanks to many other skaters that wanted to try it and to give us feedback.
Oh, so your ice dance
did.
Boot has changed over time as well. It's not, we're not looking at the same boot now as we were sort of 10 years ago.
No, exactly. Huh? Gabriella still prefers the old version.
Oh, okay. And yeah, it's I know that professional skaters have, because they get so you know, they have such needs from what they do. I've known people that literally start butchering the skates themselves. They start cutting bits out of them or trying to change them to sort of suit their needs. And when somebody finds something that works well, and you know, she certainly is having success, you wouldn't change what's working well for you. But it's
no, because she has been wearing it there, I think, at least since her debut in the junior level.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah.
Never.
So what's your most popular boot?
I think Icefly.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, probably Icefly and Overture for the beginning.
Okay. So are those big, those are Are they beginner boots or are they?
Yeah, Overture is for beginners. Well, it's for beginners at every age.
I had
even for adult skaters.
Yeah,
Overture is the way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really important because when I sort of, you know, got my first set of skates, I was like, you know, especially if you're learning as an adult and you're with younger people. But you know, in the ice skate world, those individual designs of skates do go through the ages, so definitely worthwhile getting, you know, the one that's right for your level. So Adia have had all of this success over the last 10 years. What's next? You know, I mean, Adia going from strength to strength, but are there any sort of secret designs coming up that you could give us a sneak preview of, or maybe not? If they're secret, you probably can't tell us. That will completely get around the whole point of it being secret. But so have you got anything coming up that, you know, we should maybe know
about? A secret is a secret. But you know, we are constantly working, so you can expect something new at any time.
Okay, you're playing it like that. Okay. Well, I can see that there might be. It's hard to read. It's hard to read whether there is or not. But playing your cards very close to your chest. So, we'll just watch this space, I suppose. But Ilaria, thank you so much for coming on the show. You know, on behalf of Adia.
Thank you so much, Phil. Thank you, really, for inviting us. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, and I'm so pleased that I've been the first person to do this with you, and I think it's great because I know there's so many people that are fans out there, and it means a lot to people. And so I'm sure people will love to actually hear from the company, because I know when I've been looking around stuff to actually hear from people, it's so nice to see that you've got that family business and that you take all of this care and attention in doing things. Thank you so much for coming on the show. You are indeed welcome back anytime.
Thank you.
To everybody, have a great week skating. Thank you. Thank you to Ilaria. It's bye from me.
Ciao.
Bye, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to the Ice Twizzle podcast. Don't forget to subscribe.